Good morning, it's Thursday, March 29th. Yesterday's question du jour was, hey Jeff, have we begun the 5-8% decline you've been looking for since the buying stampede ended in late January? And quite frankly, folks, I really don't know because of this end of the quarter window dressing that is currently going on. There have been increasing indicators registering negative vibes since the beginning of February, but the senior index has turned a deaf ear to those negative signals. Still, the Dow is only about 2.2% above where it was when the buying stampede ended, despite all the huffing and puffing reported by the media. In fact, except for a few stocks, I don't see where a whole lot of money has been made since late January. Turning to the here and now, and that would be the charts since price is reality, the Dow Jones broke below its 10-day moving average yesterday, at least suggesting a downside test of its 50-day moving average, and that comes in at 12,918, which isn't that far from where we are right now. Does this mean I'm bearish? Well, as stated in our conference call with the good folks at Putnam last night, not really. Because while I would really like to see a pullback of 5-8%, I continue to think any pullbacks are for buying on the belief that stocks will be higher by year end and that the economic stats are supporting that view, as we have now seen improving economic numbers for the past, count them, 26 weeks. In fact, we got a second revision of the GDP here this morning at 3%, which I think is pretty decent. Now, to the underinvested crowd, the backdrop since that October 4th undercut low has been a nightmare. Indeed, recent data shows hedge funds are still only 47% net long, and endowment funds are still about 13% net long, both of them net long U.S. equities. I continue to think that even if we are fortunate enough to get this long-anticipated pullback, that the recoil rebound could be a lot stronger than most expect as the world sees that the U.S. economy is not slipping back into a recession. That realization, I think, will cause a massive asset allocation shift out of fixed income and into stocks. This is one of the things we've been talking about, that you need to be very careful with your fixed income allocation because it looks like the 20-year bull market in bonds has ended, and I've talked about a number of vehicles that I think are geared for a higher interest rate environment. Not right now, but over the next 2 to 3 years, I do think you're going to see higher interest rates. Now, to this asset allocation shift, what's going on? It's actually caused the S&P to do a really good job of consolidating its gains. Moreover, the S&P's internal energy is being rebuilt, with our energy indicator rising from 30, which is where it was on March 19th, to 43 yesterday. For a full charge of rebuilt energy, it would require a reading of 55 or higher on the daily chart. For the weekly internal energy stats to confirm, that would require a rise from their current 30 reading back to 55 or better as well. So we wait, putting earplugs on at least for the next 2 days because of the noisy backdrop until quarter-end window dressing abates. Interestingly, what a lot of investors don't seem to get is that there is not a linear relationship between the fundamentals and the momentum of the equity markets. Indeed, it is because of the dilution of paper currencies that money is flowing into tangible assets of all kinds, including equities. This is a natural reaction to the explosion in the world's money supplies, and if you want to see how that looks here in the U.S., you can go to FRED, F-R-E-D, that would be the Federal Reserve Economic Data Bank, aka FRED, and type into FRED's search engine money supply, and you will see a graph of exactly what I'm talking about and how the money supply has exploded. That leaves the call for today. We could be seeing a short-term double top in the S&P chart. The first high was made on March 19th. The second occurred on March 26th. Now, the most important characteristic of a short-term double top is that volume decreases on that second high, and that's exactly what happened this week. If this turns into a 5-8% correction, it would suggest the decline should abate in the 1320-1340 zone, but as stated repeatedly, there's also a support zone at 1375 and 1385 in that zone right there. So the question between here and the first part of next week is, does quarter-end window dressing turn into an undressing?
There is no assurance any of the trends mentioned will continue in the future. Investors should consider the investment objectives, risks, and charges and expenses of mutual funds carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about this investment. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor and should be read carefully before investing. Investments are subject to risks that will affect their value, including political, regulatory, market, and economic risks. Investors may realize a profit or loss.